letting go is one of those topics that we hear an awful lot about. It's the sort of magic prescription. If you got a bad attitude, well, let go of it. If there's a thought pattern or a mood that is clinging to you uncomfortably, well, let it go. It's very annoying advice. And it's also a stick with which we can beat ourselves up with way too much. We let go of a lot when we sit and meditate. We let go of thoughts. Some of them are a lot of fun, and we let go of them. Some of them are very sticky because they are scary and we believe them. And there's this implicit belief that if we can just figure them out or figure out what to do about them, we'll stop being scared. Not really realizing that it's the thought itself that's generating the fear. Which isn't to scold ourselves for having that misconception. As a matter of fact, a prerequisite to letting go is to accepting it just the way it is. When I say metta for myself and all beings, you included, I wish that we can love and accept ourselves just as we are every moment. Because that enables us then to look at what it is we want to let go of as if it's just a phenomenon and not part of ourselves. That's the essence of attachment. That's the essence of aversion. Is the personal relationship we think we have, we feel we have with whatever it is that maybe we should let go of. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about my garage sale. I finally did it. I've been wanting to do it for about 4 years. The last time I did it was about 5 years ago. And it was awful. I wasn't really ready. And I over-organized. And I would go to put something on, you know, on the pile to go out in the garage sale. And then I'd think, no, not that one, something else. I didn't end up making very much money for all of my effort. This time it was a breeze and I cleaned up. I made some bucks. And the reason why it was a breeze is that during those 4 years when I was, you know, starting to think garage sale, I shifted. Something shifted in my attitude toward the stuff. Okay? So I want to talk about the stuff in terms of both dusty stuff on the shelf in the closet, wasting space, and the stuff in the mind. That's an annoying thought or a painful emotion or a just dead wrong attitude or whatever it is, that at some passing moment in our experience, we catch a glimpse that it's not really doing us any good. We might be better off without it. Now, I had a little fun this afternoon working on the parallels between garage sale and mind. So this is going to be the garage sale of the mind here. When I was getting ready, actually mine was a yard sale because the garage was a mess and I didn't feel like cleaning it up. So well, going back 4 years, the first little flash in the mind was, why haven't I used that lately? Why haven't I worn it? Whatever. So what happens in the mind is we're meditating, we're watching the breathing, it feels really great, we're mellow, relaxed, peaceful, everything's fine, and then thought comes through, what am I going to wear tomorrow? And I think, why did I think that? I'd rather be watching my breathing. And then a few moments later it goes, I can't wear those shoes anymore. They look too bad. But they go with the outfit that I think I'm going to wear tomorrow. Oh, I'd rather watch my breathing. So there's this perception of the thought, why am I thinking this thought? Keeps coming back. And what happened with the garage sale is that I would notice that, okay, for example, on a whim, on an impulse, in a moment of desire, I bought what looked like a really nifty battery-operated sewing machine. $35. How could I lose? Well, I never used it, not once. I opened it up, I looked at the directions, I folded the directions neatly and put it all back in the box. It was sitting on my shelf all those years, never used it. And after, I don't know, maybe a year of owning it, I noticed I still haven't used that. And in meditation, I realize I'm still thinking about that. Back to my closet, a couple years later, I notice, what is that dusty box? Oh, that's that sewing machine. I don't want to touch that dusty box. In meditation, I realize, yep, that's that thought again, okay? Sure enough, I'm having that thought again. It's a repeater. So after about 3 years, I started to have feelings about that silly little sewing machine. It was kind of a dead feeling in my stomach, kind of like just a weight, a heaviness, no movement to it. It didn't make me queasy or anything, but it just was just a sense of heaviness every time I looked at that. With the thought in the mind, what am I going to wear tomorrow? I notice that the 17th time it comes up, there's a tightness to it, that it's associated with some emotion, and they're not comfortable ones. And that's really all I noticed at that point. back to the box on the shelf. Another year goes by, I realize it's taking up space that something else could occupy. With the thought in my mind, I'm beginning to recognize that that feeling is icky. I don't like it. So there's this emerging desire with both the garage sale item and the thought in the mind. I'd like to lose it. I'd like it not to be there. I form a clear goal. I don't want to have that anymore. At this point, that feeling associated with the thought or the item is really key. More so in the garage sale of the mind than the real one. Although it works in both planes. That feeling, that physical sensation associated with recognizing this undesired thing could be an express elevator to letting go of this thing. It occurs right about here, and we're finally ready to let go of it down here, okay? So tuning into that feeling can just shoot us all the way down the list. In the meantime, what we endure is the idea or a clear desire to get rid of this thing and the stubborn fact that we don't. And feelings arise of annoyance or aversion. Maybe we start to have some of the defenses to these feelings of aversion. Maybe we go into denial. The dusty box. Oh, it's not really taking up that much space. I can just move things around and it's fine. I don't want to touch it. It's dirty. Or we compensate for it, or we bargain with it. You know, like, I'll have the garage sale as soon as I've finished this job and, you know, I have some time off or whatever. Once I quit smoking, whatever. Meanwhile, there's a growing frustration with ourselves. Let's pick an object of the mind a little more. Well, okay, let's stick with the clothing idea. Maybe the reason we begin to perceive that the reason this thought of what am I going to wear tomorrow is the fact that we haven't done the laundry in a while. And it's caused us problems for several days now, and we're at that point where, you know, we're almost going to have to call in to work naked. You know, I can't come to work. I don't have any clothes. And the feelings associated with it is our own disapproval of ourselves that we haven't taken care of business. We're not really caring for ourselves properly. So this growing frustration with ourselves adds up to more suffering. We've got this little initial sand that grows into the pearl of suffering, and we just keep coating it with aversion, annoyance, guilt, whatever. And the thoughts associated with the silly sewing machine are, why haven't I thrown that out yet? With the thought or the mental habit, Why can't I change? I want to, but I can't. And so with our mental habits, we read books, self-help books, or we talk with our friends about it, or we study the Dharma, or we double down on practice or change the way we're practicing. That's all fine. No problem with it. And yet, it's still there. And we still have this guilt, which is growing on its own. And then we go into the fifth hindrance. Five hindrances first have to do with greed and aversion, desire and aversion. Second have to do with energy, restlessness or sloth and torpor. Fifth one, doubt. Doubt. We doubt ourselves. We doubt the practice. It's a nasty place to be. But each time we see this thing that we don't really want to have, we see more clearly how it's not good for us. In other words, we're studying our suffering. We're getting to know it really well. We're learning the first noble truth, that inherent in our experience is the tendency to suffer. And we clearly see, we begin to see what leads to the suffering and what the results are. And at some point along in here, and it could take years, if we're clinging to something, or if we have a really strong aversion to something in the mix, but eventually we stop taking it personally. It's just a box on the shelf in my closet. It's just a habit that I have to let the laundry go too late. So kill me already. So what I'm doing actually with all this long list is that I'm running through a process for which there's an acronym, which you may have heard, and it's RAIN, R-A-I-N, recognize, accept, investigate, and not take it personally. So a full 50% of this technique is acceptance, coming to peace with the thing, not having either aversion or clinging in relation to it, just recognizing dusty old box on the shelf. Habit. And we become willing for it to leave our lives. This is the breakthrough. This is when getting rid of something becomes letting go of it, and it just falls away. In the case of the dusty box, you do have to organize the garage sale. But, you know, I got to that point with all that stuff that I was ready to leave my life. And back before, it was, you know, one of the things that I would put it off with was asking, well, should I try to sell it, or should I give it away, or should I throw it away? You know, back when in the garage sale of the mind, I'm reading books and I'm trying different practices, you know, I was getting hung up about how do I get rid of this box. And you know, at this point, after it becomes a letting go, my personal experience was it became very clear. Just to organize a garage sale, go talk to the neighbors, see if we want to make a big thing of it. We'll publicize it, put out some signs. I'll collect all the other dusty boxes, and I'll put them out there. And the ones, you know, it became feasible. I could see, yes, that's how to do it. And I was willing to do the work that was involved. And the same is true with the stuff in the mind. What happens instead of organizing the garage sale and identifying all the things that we want to take out is that our lives start getting organized a little differently. You know, maybe we put the laundry basket in a different place so that it becomes a little more obvious to us when it's full. You know, and it just, we develop new habits. We develop new habits of thought. And the funny thing is, most of my experiences and most of the practitioners that I talk to in practice interviews, this stuff takes place pretty much off the radar. And it's too bad, because we miss the opportunity to appreciate it, to really savor how wonderful it is that our mind is getting changed. And our life is getting easier. And we're not suffering over this anymore. But one day, the day comes when we realize, wow, I'm not obsessing anymore about what I'm going to wear tomorrow. Or just a few days ago, there was something I needed to put on the shelf of my closet. And by golly, there was a space for it to go in. You know, life had gotten easier. And when we do notice this, it's so important to celebrate it. Because, you know, I've talked about this in past Dharma talks, but neuroscience has clearly demonstrated that our brains hold on to the negative stuff, because their goal is to keep us alive, and they don't want us to get an electric shock again or eat poison again or get into an interpersonal conflict again. They remember how icky that feels. They don't remember the good stuff so much. So we have to do that for ourselves. Our brains are not in the business of making us happy. That's our job. And our practice needs our appreciation as fuel to keep going. So when we notice that we have, in fact, let go of something, man, just take a moment and savor that. It's a gift. It's a great gift that you've given yourself. And if you took the stairs, you really worked hard for it. You deserve a good hug and pat on the back. But let's take another minute and talk about the elevator. Because it's your body. It's the way you feel in your body in association with thoughts or attitudes or moods. Those feelings in your body have their own wisdom. They are associated with the whole wisdom of the body. You've probably heard that expression before. I can't, I've got just a few minutes left in tonight's Dharma talk. I'm not going to take the time to try to explain it because, frankly, I don't understand it all. But I've seen it work in myself and others many times. And I learned it from some pretty good authority. Jack Kornfield walked me through it, as did Joseph Goldstein and Gil Fronsdal. So this has worked for not just me and people I've worked with, but, you know, them and all of their students. When we focus our attention to the way we feel as a result of some movement in the mind, then we are in the experience of the suffering. We're studying it kind of in a crash course. We don't have to go through all those years of noticing, by golly, I'm still doing it. Why can't I let go of this? We get right into knowing the suffering. And one of the reasons why we call this insight meditation is that when we're focused on the body's experience, sometimes on their own, insights arise into why we always worry about what we're going to wear the next day. You know, and we don't have to go all those months or years to recognize I'm not properly taking care of myself. I'm not taking joy in the fact that, you know, if I do the laundry, I'll have clean clothes. You know, I've got this negative attitude that's holding me back too. It's not just annoying thoughts about wardrobe. There's this other level. And these insights become accessible, actually are gifts of the universe, when we look at the body's experience, how the body is responding to these habits of thought. And sometimes, right then, there is a letting go. Sometimes it takes a little collection of them. They need to add up to the point where we're ready to let go. But I think the main thing I want to leave you with this evening is to just cut yourself some slack. If you've still got that dusty box of a mental habit, don't beat yourself up about it. Turn and look at how you feel, or just recognize, okay, I got that habit. Accept it. Accept and love yourself just as you are that moment. As Pema Chodron says in her book entitled, Start Where You Are, we can only work with who we are right now. And who we are right now is wonderful and as worthy of our love as any other being on the planet. There's a quote in the Dhammapada, in fact, it's the very first segment of the Dhammapada that includes, and I'll paraphrase the Pali, aversion can never be overcome by aversion, but only by love. This is an eternal and immutable law. So coming down hard on yourself is not going to help you get rid of something. In fact, loving yourself will make it easier to just let go. Thank you.